Yeah. Shulba Prabhast. Shulba Prabhast. Does anybody understand me this morning? This is Hindi. Is there anybody in classroom who speaks Hindi? Did you understand when I said my greeting? No. How would you say it? It was Shulba Prabhast. Shulba Prabhast? You don't know. All right. Well, at least my source says that's good morning in Hindi. So we'll start from there. Let's continue. We need to choose names. Is Arabella Malik here? There's Arabella right in the front. Good. Okay. And Justin Lin. There's Justin Lin. Justin has some friends over there with him. All right. So if Arabella and Justin would come up after class, I've got to run right after, so we'll make a date quickly. Okay? Good. Let's continue to finish our sinuses. We sort of left ourselves in the lurch because we didn't have time for slides. So we'll just sort of review quickly and then take off from there. These are sinuses. And we had shown that we had the falx cerebri coming around here. And we had the superior longitudinal sinus up here. We had the inferior longitudinal sinus here. The straight sinus here. And then we had the tentorium cerebelli, which was the dura over the cerebellum. So we sort of drew it in like this as the tentorium cerebelli. And then we took the transverse sinus around its edge and then came down into the sigmoid sinus. So this was a transverse sinus. We've just given all this. We're just reviewing. It was just that we stopped with the sigmoid sinus. And it's from the sigmoid sinus then that we go, we're a little bit far down in my drawing here, but we'll put it here. Your internal jugular foramen, or just jugular foramen. This is jugular foramen. And the reason I wanted to get all of this, because all this blood that's flowing in there, in these sinuses, then will go from the jugular foramen into the internal jugular vein. The internal jugular vein. So you can see why it was important to finish this, because we didn't want to leave all this blood up in the skull. Now the internal jugular vein is going to go into the superior vena cava. So we can follow the drainage from the sinuses, from the skull, into the superior vena cava. Now we have one more sinus that I want to, because it's a very important one, the cavernous sinus. And the cavernous sinus now is found lateral to your walls of your cella turcica. So picture where your cella turcica is in there, and in the lateral walls, you'll have the cavernous sinus. So this is found in the lateral walls of the cella turcica. And And we'll just kind of put it in as a little box here, because it's, if we have our eye here, it's going to be in the skull here. We'll just put that our box represents the position of the cavernous sinus. And we can bring in two facts here which are important for them. The venous drainage from the eye goes into the cavernous sinus. Venous drainage from eye back into the, actually it's the ophthalmic vein from the eye that goes into the cavernous sinus. From eye to the ophthalmic vein. Goes to the cavernous sinus. So if you have an infection in your eye, it's possible to get that infection back into the skull via this ophthalmic vein. And where does the cavernous sinus drain then? It's going to drain into the sigmoid sinus. So a cavernous sinus drains into sigmoid sinus. And that's a very important sinus when you study advanced neurology. We'll be taking lots of cranial nerves through it. And when they first started using the Deuteron beam up on the hill to knock out the pituitary, they were coming in from the side and they were knocking out all those cranial nerves. They didn't know anything about why. They just wanted to get the pituitary. They didn't care what was in the path. Anyhow, that was some time ago. So this gets us through our sinuses. And now let's look at just, I picked two or three veins within the extremities. So let's look at the upper extremity. And we'll take the median cubital vein, median cubital vein. And it's on the anterior aspect of the upper extremity, anterior to elbow joint. Why did we take this one? Because many of you have given blood. Where do you give your blood? You put out your anterior cubital vein. This is for blood donations. Or just getting samples to look at the pathology or anything of your blood. And for transfusions. If you need a transfusion, use this median cubital vein. So that was our example from the upper extremity. Let's take two in the lower extremity. We've talked about one previously. So lower extremity. We'll take the deep femoral vein, deep femoral vein. And it will be coming up the goes up the lower extremity. And where does it come to the surface? If I want to get my femoral vein, where am I going to catch it? Pardon? Emerald Triangle, sure. Surfaces at femoral triangle. But now, why do we bring it up? Have you heard of the condition called phlebitis? Phlebitis. This will be inflammation of the vein. Phlebitis always designates inflammation. And you can, after surgery, if you've been bedridden for a long period of time, frequently inflammation of the deep femoral vein will occur, causing phlebitis. And this will occur and cause clots in the vein. So inflammation of the vein. Let's say after prolonged bed rest. After surgery, then you'll get clot. What's another term for a clot? A thrombus. Remember thrombocytes? They form clots, or a thrombus. And now with medication, they can dissolve these clots. How do you know you have a clot? It's exceedingly painful. So if you have been lying in bed rest after surgery and you get a, feels like a cramp in your gastrocnemius and you want to rub it, don't. Let someone know that it hurts. And so they can dissolve that clot. All right, that's the deep femoral vein. The superficial vein of the lower extremities, superficial is called the saphenous vein, saphenous, and the saphenous vein will be coming up from the foot along the medial aspect and enter the deep vein at the femoral triangle. So it goes from the medial foot up medial extremity. Medial leg, just to review. Two thigh to the femoral triangle and then goes into the deep femoral vein. What condition when an individual has too much weight on these venous flows coming up from the legs, what do they cause in those veins? Pardon? Varicose veins, right. Varicose veins are swelling of saphenous vein and contributory vessels. But they can come from extreme obesity or pregnancy. Gaining 25 pounds or so with pregnancy, a lot of extra weight for this venous flow to be coming back because it's dependent on moving the muscles in the leg. And sometimes varicose veins are hereditary. So you look at your parents, find out if they've had them. And if they've had them, then you'd really want to exercise to keep your legs healthy. Right? Sometimes hereditary. But it's a good idea to exercise your legs every day, a lot anyhow, and you have to, being a Cal student, right? Or you wouldn't be in Wheeler Hall. All right. Now, one thing that I think is rather surprising, they use the saphenous vein frequently for coronary bypasses. So for a coronary artery, they're using a venous coat. We know they differ, don't we? It's something to think about. Let's see, saphenous vein. Sometimes used for a coronary bypass. All right, let's look at blood to the liver. The liver is this big 3-pound organ. Needs a good blood supply. It will have two sources. It'll have your hepatic artery. And it will have the hepatic portal vein. Hepatic portal vein. Hepatic artery will be bringing in oxygenated blood. It's a branch of your celiac artery. Branch of celiac artery. Where's the celiac coming from? Your descending aorta. Can you picture it? Can you picture your diaphragm? Should be able to by now. And know just exactly where that celiac's coming from, right? So it's bringing in oxygenated blood to liver. The hepatic portal is bringing in blood from the digestive system. It's a vein. Bringing in blood from digestive system. So this blood will be coming in from examples from stomach. And small intestine, so it's bringing all these nutrients in, carrying nutrients. For storage, further processing. And bringing in substances to be detoxified. Carrying toxins, but liver's going to detoxify them. Detoxify substances. So that gives a bird's eye view that the liver has lots of blood. You ever known anybody to have a ruptured liver? Tremendous hemorrhage, loaded with blood. ready for a new system? No, we want disorders of the vascular system first. Disorders. We'll just give two. Those who were 131A last Friday saw a perfect example of one of these. An aneurysm. Aneurysm. An aneurysm is a swelling and weakening of a vascular wall. Swelling. Weakening. A vascular wall. So you have to get in there and operate before it breaks. So we'll take an example. Let's take the loop. What do we call it? The arch of the aorta. Arch of aorta. So we had our ascending aorta coming out of the heart. And giving off a branch this way. And a branch this way. And this branch represents the arch of the aorta. This was our ascending aorta. Now, with an aneurysm, we're going to see a swelling. This will be an aneurysm. So how are we going to treat this? But it's the aorta. It's easy. When you get into these small vessels in the brain, I really respect those neurosurgeons to work there on aneurysms. But there's one that's prone when we get to the blood supply of the brain. So what we can do is tie off here. And replace then. That out, and we place with a Dacron sleeve. So we'll put this sleeve in place here. Very neat little sleeve. So in green, is a Dacron. So as we asked the surgeon on Friday, how do you prevent clots? You've put in a foreign substance here. Blood's used to flowing. It's got to come up against a different material here and here. So he said they use heparin. Heparin is an anticoagulant, and that will prevent the clots. Please. I'm sorry? I don't think so. No. I've taken heparin. Only had to take it while I was in the hospital. I'm still here. Who knows? All right. Hypertension's the other one. Very important. High blood pressure. hypertension. How many people in America have hypertension? There's 1 out of 5. Pretty high. So what did we say was normal blood pressure today? 120 over. I'll just put normal because that's normal accepted. There are variations, people will say. They consider basic hypertension, at least up until recently, was considered to be 140 over 90. Basic. Anything above that gets to be serious, but this is basic hypertension. So you learn to keep your blood vessels healthy and keep those plaques out of there and exercise, exercise, exercise. You can't emphasize that enough. So now we go to a new system, and for many of you, this will be a brand new system. You probably never thought about it. It is so important. Your lymphatic system. Lymphatic. So, what makes up a lymphatic system? What are the constituents? Well, we're going to have lymphatic tissue. Lymphatic tissue. Lymphatic vessels, entirely different vascular system than the blood vascular system. Lymphatic vessels. Then we have to have something for those vessels to carry. This will be lymph. Lymph. Instead of blood, we're carrying lymph. So what are lymphatic tissues? You've heard of all of them. Lymphatic tissues. Spleen, good for you. The largest mass of lymphatic tissue. Spleen. What's another one? Pardon?
Liver.
Liver? No. Thymus. No, liver does a lot of things, but it doesn't do anything for the lymphatic system. All right, so we said thymus. Sorry. What else? Tonsils. What else? Pardon? No? Pardon? Lymph nodes, right. And what's one more? Peyer's patches. Somebody has studied. Yes, she knew. You're going to point that she was the one. All right, thank you. Peyer's patches. Never heard of Peyer's patches, right? All right, lots of lymphatic tissue to protect. This is the protection system of your body. So extremely important. So let's look at the spleen. Where is your spleen? Has anybody had a spleen removed? No, you've all got them. So this is a large mass of lymphatic tissue. Where is its location? I'm sorry? No. You've got pretty good ideas. Around the stomach is fair enough. But let's get it specifically. Let's put it in your, we'll put the quadrants of your abdominal cavity. These are the quadrants of your abdominal cavity. So the spleen's going to be located in the upper left quadrant. So always remember to use this because we'll be using it a lot when we're putting in different things. I mean, you put the appendix in the lower right quadrant. But we're right now putting in our spleen. And we're going to place what's superior to the abdominal cavity. It's sort of shaped like this. Diaphragm. No problem with that. And you all referred to something with the stomach. So we've got the esophagus coming in. And the stomach then has a bulge in this direction here before it turns around like this. This is the stomach. In the upper left quadrant. Now the spleen will lie between what's called the fundus of the stomach, which is this portion here. This equals the fundus of stomach. And we'll find sitting on the fundus between the stomach and the diaphragm is your spleen. So now put your hand over your spleen. Become acquainted with it because you didn't know where it was before, right? What's the size of your spleen? Reportedly, it's about 5 inches by 3 inches by 2 inches. 5 by 3 by 2. What other organ is roughly that dimension? Heart. What other part of the body? Fist, right? So what are the functions of your spleen? The spleen will filter your blood. Filter blood. Where did we say old erythrocytes are destroyed? Spleen destroys RBCs, old ones. And since it's a mass of lymphoid tissue, it produces lymphocytes. Produces lymphocytes. So now you're becoming acquainted with your spleen. Can you live without it? Yes, if necessary. So what's its structure? Please. Yes? Sure. I mean, you can add lots of these things. I just don't have time to do all. I'd take a handful to give you an example, right? All right, structure. It's going to have a CT capsule. And that CT capsule is going to be, if you're going to build a capsule now, you know your tissues. What do you want to build it of? Start using some of your terminology now. You've got the tools to work with. What are the major tissues? Pardon? It's going to have some, but for the capsule, no. You want something strong out in your capsule. What are you going to put out? What kind of fibers?
Cartilage.
Don't want cartilage. What do you want? Collagenous fibers. Good for you. So you want collagenous fibers out here. There's your capsule. These will be collagenous. See, you can think. You've got the tools now. We're going to start using them. Collagenous and elastic fibers are in this capsule. And then we're going to set have these sort of supporting beams. If you're building a house, you have all the beams in there. We're putting supporting beams. These are connective tissue too. And they're trabeculae. Trabeculae. Now, those who said we had reticular fibers, now we're ready for the reticular ones because they're going to form a network. So now we can put in all the reticular fibers. We've got the strong structure to support these. Reticulum means network. So if we're going to have blood flowing through, we've got to have areas where it can flow through. So these will be reticulum. Reticular fibers is what we'll call them. Form network. And we're going to need some macrophages if we're going to be destroying things. So we could put in some macrophages on these fibers, just to illustrate a few. And now, what else do we have? For the spleen, we have what's called white pulp and red pulp. We won't give a great deal on these. We'll just introduce them. White pulp and red pulp. But you'll see the terms, so you should know they're in the spleen. And the white pulp consists of a mass of lymphocytes around a central artery. So if we make a central artery, and we'll see all these lymphocytes around it. So it will be lymphocytes, mass of lymphocytes around central artery. There are not many of these. They're easy to find. What is red pulp? Red pulp is the rest of the spleen, the venous sinuses filled with blood. Red pulp, venous sinuses filled with blood. So that's the general structure. So now we're ready to bring the blood in. So we're going to put a splenic artery. this indentation as I've made my spleen like this. This indentation is called a hilum. We'll see, we have a hilum of a lung. You'll see this term a lot. That's the indentation. And in the hilum then, we'll have the splenic artery bringing blood in. And we'll have the splenic vein bringing it out. So now you can see how it can carry out its function. Bring the blood in. It can move freely in here. Macrophages are taking things in. You've got your white pulp producing lymphocytes to add to the bloodstream and get a general picture of how your spleen works. We now want to go to the, I'm sure we've got most of this that's important here. So the main thing to remember is that spleen filters blood. In contrast now, let's look at lymph nodes. Because lymph nodes are going to be filtering lymph. So they have entirely different functions. So what's our size of lymph nodes? They can vary from being roughly 1 millimeter to a few centimeters. 1 millimeter to 2 centimeters. Gives you a rough estimate of what that is. This would be the head of a pin. Anybody sew these days? Does anybody know what the head of a pin looks like? You? Yes? Did you have to take sewing in class? Never? My goodness, we had to take sewing, cooking, all these things. All right, head of a pin. You don't know what the size of a head of a pin is, but it's about half the size of that dot to the size of a lima bean. How many eat lima beans? Well, they vary in size, don't they? But some of the textbooks say to the size of a lima bean, so let's use a lima bean to give an idea. All right, location. They're along the pathways of lymphatic vessels. So what we want to do is follow where these groups of lymph nodes are found and see that all lymph needs to come through lymph nodes. All lymph. We'll pass through lymph nodes. So where are lymph nodes located now? We're going to see aggregates of them. There are lots of them. We're just going to take a few. First ones we'll take will be your cervical lymph nodes. Let's put location. Of lymph nodes. We'll just give two and then continue. Cervical. Where is cervical going to be? Somebody says, look at, check your cervical lymph nodes. Sure. You're going to go on the anterior border of your sternocleidomastoid. How many have had severe throat aches? Severe. And your doctor palpates along these cervical lymph nodes. They're there to catch any pathogens that are coming in from the mouth, from the throat. So the cervical will be on the anterior border of the sternocleidomastoid. I'll just give the next one because it's terribly important. The axillary lymph nodes. Why are they so important? Particularly in females. Because when they get breast cancer and the cancer metastasizes, it breaks loose from its parent. Those cells travel in lymphatic vessels, and the first vessels they come into will be those going to the axilla. So when cancer metastasizes, travels in, I'm just going to do lymph vessels like we have blood vessels, in lymph vessels to axilla. So as you get to be past 30, when you take your shower, always palpate your axillary lymph nodes. If you find one swollen, that's when you go call your doctor. Because you may not get the lump in your breast or feel that, but you can feel these right in the surface in the axilla. So that's why I just wanted to get that far with this, because it is terribly important with cancer being so prevalent. You want me to tell you what we learned on Friday in 131A, talking about this? I'm supposed to be showing slides. But have you heard that in Marin County there's a high prevalence of cancer amongst the women there? And it turns out that it's been correlated with a high amount of drinking of wine. Wine in the afternoon, wine for dinner. Something to think about. And we all have wondered why, but the surgeon told us on Friday that they have found there's a correlation. Thank you. All right, let's go quickly through these. We've got lots of slides because we had... All right, what is this? Let's just go fast. What is... I showed it to you once before. What is it? Vein. Good. It's got thin wall. It's got a large lumen. In the next one? Next one? What is this? Well, what's the vessel? A vein. And what do veins have? Valves. You can see valves. Just, that's where you get to see simple squamous epithelium in the fold of a valve. In the next one? And what is this? A sinus, your superior longitudinal sinus. Here's the top of your skull. Here's your falx cerebri. And between the folds of dura, when you study the advanced, you get the names of the two layers. But we see it just here. This is a venous sinus within dural folds. In the next one. And now you can see. Did you know you look like this inside your skull? Here's your falx cerebri. Your superior longitudinal sinus is coming along here. Your inferior is on the free edge here of your falx. Comes back to your straight. There's a little complexity here that we are skipping over, but we're going to take the transverse around, and it will then go down into the sigmoid. But while we have this one, your cavernous, this is going to be your pituitary stalk here. So the sinus here will run into the sigmoid sinus from the cavernous sinus on each side here. And they've cut out the tentorium cerebelli so you can see through. If I would take this tent across here, the cerebellum would be beneath it. And the top is the tentorium. And that's why I gave the fact that the tentorium's attachment to the skull is where you have the transverse sinus. In the next one. And here's the superior longitudinal sinus looking from the top. This is all dura. And you can peel it apart. And you can see it's not just a simple straight sinus. It can have lateral projections, all filled with blood. In the next one. And this is your saphenous vein coming up into your femoral triangle. And you can see all the lymph nodes. We're going to talk about inguinal lymph nodes that are right here on the medial aspect. We said that was your navel, would be the lymphatics. In the next one. And now this is the spleen. This is the capsule. These are the trabeculae coming in. I can tell by the density of this that this would be white pulp here. The little central artery is almost off your screen up there. But the rest of this is red pulp, which is freely flowing blood through the reticular formation here. In the next one. And this shows, these are your white pulps with central arteries. In between will be red pulp, just diffuse blood flowing. Most of the spleen are these channels of diffuse blood. These are where lymphocytes are produced, here in the white pulp. In the next one. Now, we have a vessel here. It's got lymphocytes in it. What is it? Lymphatic vessel. Right? Does it look like any artery that we've seen? Very thin walls. But it's got lots of lymphocytes. In the next one. Now, we didn't get to the thymus, but this is going to be exciting because of August 2007 in Nature, I found the function of these structures. Just came out. All these decades, nobody's known the function of those. You know what they're called? They're called Hassel's bodies, but we'll get them next time. But you will have real information on their function now.